can is compare the two mitzvahs. Compare the mitzvah of, we have two mitzvahs where we have to kill lots of people. Pretty bad stuff. One is to. Okay. All I want to do is to compare these two mitzvahs. Basically, what is the difference between the mitzvah of killing a Amalek, which is to kill a whole nation, and the mitzvah, which is also extreme, Hakhem Tacharimem, that the mitzvah is brought down in Parashat Shoftim, Devarim Chaf, that there are various differences between a Milchemet Roshut, which takes place in Chutz Laaretz, and Milchemet Mitzvah takes place in Eretz Yisrael. Milchemet Mitzvah takes place in Eretz Yisrael against the Shivat Amnim. You have to kill men, women, children, the whole works, totally obliterate the entire nation. And in that sense, it's very similar to Milchemet Amalek. But we'll see, there are many, many distinctions between them that will help us. Now, let's start with the Sefer Chinuch. The Chinuch points out a number, let's read carefully, a number of distinctions that exist between the two mitzvot. The first distinction I want to point out is when the mitzvah begins, which it should be obvious, but the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, at what point do we chayev to actually do it? So we have various battles with Amalek in the Midbar, but
when we enter
Israel, still not.
And we have a king.
Only once you have a king.
No enemies.
Right? So have a look, for example, at the Gemara Sanhedrin. Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shlosh Mitzvot, this double Yisrael, B'kinis Satan La'aretz. There were three mitzvahs we chayev when we enter Israel. Lavin Hem Melech, to appoint a king, which we did with Shaul and then David. Lachrit Zarosh El Amalek, to destroy Amalek. And then Yochanan, when Shaul was appointed, one of the first things he had to do was to kill Amalek, which we read the Haftorah, Pesha Zachor. So David gets involved in this for a bit. Livlot Lehem Beis HaBechira, then to build a Beis HaMikdash. So there's a Seder, king, Amalek, Beis HaMikdash. Vein Odei Ze'ezimem Tchila, I don't know which comes first. Shu'omer, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, Milcham El Hashem Ba'Amalek. The Pasuk by Amalek says, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka. Right, his hand was raised on the throne of God, and Milcham El Hashem Ba'Amalek. Apparently you need a melech before you can fight Amalek. How do you land it out? Because apparently you're talking about a throne, right? You're talking about a throne. And once there's a throne, then you can have a melchama with Amalek. So we'll come back to this drasha later on. But the drasha limits the seder. And if you have a look, jump to Yireim. The Yireim, when he quotes this, says Lamadnu Mikan Shemitzvah Limchot Zecha Malek Ala Melech Muteles. Specifically a mitzvah on a Melech Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah on any individual one of us right now necessarily to go and kill a Malekhi, if you were to turn up and say hi, I'm a Malekhi, we don't have to all kill him. Unless there's a Melech Yisrael. Here's the first distinction. Obviously that doesn't exist by Zayin Amim. Zayin Amim we were chayev immediately as we went into Eretz Yisrael, even though we hadn't yet established a monarchy. Right, and throughout Sefer Shoftim, there's no Melech. Right, so I'll point to Sefer Shoftim. But there was nevertheless a mitzvah immediately to kill the Zion Amnu. So that's the first distinction. The second distinction, which very clearly comes out of the Sefer Chinuch, is who's Chayav. In the mitzvah of Harigas Shivat Amim, he says, Noheges mitzvah zoh bezacharim uva nekevot. Men and women are involved in killing Shivat Amim, whereas by Amalek the Sefer Chinuch says, one second, where does he say this? Yeah, remember, Ki Gamako Yachid Misrael Hazacharim Mutalachiv. The Sefer Chinuch says only the men are chayav in killing Amalek, but not the women. No, so he starts off with a few lines before he says, Zot min ha-mitzvah to metel ala tzibur kolan. It's really a mitzvah which also applies to the whole community. And then he adds in, and also each and every individual. But that, also every individual, if you are aware of some Amaleki, so you have to get up and kill him. Right? In other words, what we just read in this Yireh, which is, it's a mitzvah on the Melech, the Sefer Chinuch doesn't really entirely fit with that. He's saying, well, it's really on the community. And in fact, it's in the individual. Once there's a Melech Yisrael, so then, if anyone's aware of any Amaleki, so he as an individual has to keep him. So that's what's another distinction. Pardon?
But he doesn't. But
so there's another distinction. So what Moshe points out about whether you have to endanger your life to do this mitzvah. The Chinuch says in his summary of the whole mitzvah, "V'alver al zeh." Right, one who transgresses this mitzvah of killing Shimat Amnim. Ubali Ador Khanehem, and one of these Shimat Amim came to his hand. You could have killed him without endangering yourself. Then in other words, Pukuach Nefesh is Doicha this mitzvah. You don't have to kill one of the Shimat Amim if it's going to endanger your life. Now, the Minchas Chinuch here asks the obvious question, which is, well, every war involves endangering your life, right? But I think that's part of going to be the key to understanding what's going on here. Obviously, if you're in a war situation, if you declared war, once you declare war against anyone, even Melchemetz Rishus, rules of Pikuach Nefesh no longer apply, right? In a time of war, every single individual is obligated to fight despite the danger to his individual life. But we're discussing here is a case where Ba'ali Ado Echad Mehem, you're not in a situation of war, and a single Kanani comes past you. You can kill him. You can stab him in the back without endangering yourself and stab him in the back. But if he's facing you and he's got a knife as well, okay, don't have to risk your life.
So essentially we're saying that the myth of Zayin Amrin is that that we need to create a Matthias with no one in the Zayin Amrin, because otherwise it's also for women to fight it anyway. How is a woman allowed to fight it? Because it's also for her to hold a sword or a gun or whatever it is.
So she won't use a sword. She will punch them. Throw a stone at them. Right, that's what the Midrash says. Why did Yael use a tent peg?
Because
he caused the land to lift up a sword. That would be
for sure.
So, if you need it from Kuach Nefesh, it's Mutter.
Rabbi says that they were water carriers.
Pardon?
Rabbi says they were water carriers.
So Moshe Feinstein has a Shema written to Rav Shabbatai Rappaport about Gush Etzion. He asks, women in Gush Etzion, can they carry a gun? It's Klei Neshek, it's Klei Gever, it's not Mutter. So he asks, in Gush Etzion, is it Mutter? He says, what a baby should Dafka drive together with a man? Whatever he suggests, Rav Moshe says, no, it's Mutter. And, if she's already in a car with a man, yeah, but two guns are better than one. And if she's on her own, it's also... Oh, that's okay. Okay, so if you need it, Kuach Nefesh, so obviously that pushes aside the use of Klei Gever. Okay, whereas the Chinuch writes by Zayin Amrin that if you're going to endanger your life, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. When it comes to Amalek, right, he doesn't mention that. It disappears, that whole requirement, the limitation. Suddenly the requirement that you're not allowed to endanger your life doesn't exist. Apparently, you should kill Amalek even a risk to your life, which is a big chiddush. We used to decide only three mitzvahs doicha pikuach nefesh. Here's another one. Pardon?
It says, im sipek biyad.
Sipek biyado. You have the ability to. If you didn't have the ability to kill him. Right, but he also said that in Shiva Abamin. The ability means you got a gun. You've got something you would be able to do. If somebody comes past you and you couldn't kill them, it's obviously you're not.
But you don't have to try to seek out the... You just have to wait for him to come to you. You don't have to actively...
So first of all, let's start with this. This is the case where you weren't chasing them out, but they just happen to walk past, you have to kill them. So I think we take the Minchas Chinuch's kashya, right? What do you mean you don't have to endanger your life? All war involves endangering your life. So that's exactly the answer to all our questions. the mitzvah of killing Shivat Amamim, right, is lav davka a mitzvah to go to war. It's a mitzvah to kill Shivat Amamim. One of the best ways to kill Shivat Amamim is go to war against them, right? Because then you'll a whole massive campaign. And if you're in war, so obviously once you're in the setting of war, you've declared war, so Megorach Nefesh doesn't apply. The Sefer Chiddush here is that you don't need a war to be Mekayim this mitzvah. Even when you're not at war, there's a specific mitzvah to kill each and every one of the Shivat Amamim, right? Hence, that also explains the other distinct. Well, let's get to the other. By Amalek, it's not true. By Amalek, the mitzvah is to kill in war. There is no concept of killing Amalek outside of a war context. The mitzvah is to go to war against Amalek. And therefore, there's no heter pekoach nefesh. Whenever you kill Amalek, you're considered to be in part of the war with Amalek. And therefore, the pekoach nefesh doesn't apply. It also explains the difference between men and women. Why by Shivat Amamim does the Sefer Chinuch say that the mitzvah applies to men and women? So we know it's not the derech of women to go to war. It's not true it's not the derech of women to murder people. Right? But it is the female halacha, it's not the derech of women to go out to war. So by Shivat Amamim, where we've said the mitzvah is not to go to war, but it's to kill. So then women are also chayav. By Amalek, where the mitzvah is to be at war with Amalek and to kill Amalek, to fight a milchama against Amalek, so then women are exempt. Okay.
It's still only the chalos of the chayav is still only after the zemelah.
No, Shivas Amim, straight away. The moment you come to Eretz Yisrael, you recognize that somebody from Shivas Amim, maybe you have to kill them. It's a mitzvah hariga. It's a mitzvah that they should be killed. Now, let's sharpen this even more. By the Shivat Amim, it's very clear from the Pesukim that the goal of Hachramas Shivas Amim is not to kill them per se. There's no value in killing them per se. What's the goal? Lamana she'yilamdu etchem lasot, k'chol tovatam, asher asu lelokeichem, v'chatatem l'shem elokeichem. Right? It should be Lelohehem. I corrected it correctly. Which is a real mistake. It's like Avodah Zarah to correct it. Okay. The mitzvah of Shivas Amim is to diffuse their influence. They shouldn't have Shivas Amim in Eretz Yisrael, because if you have Shivas Amim, they'll lead us astray. And that's exactly what happened. We didn't fulfill this mitzvah. Right? Sefer Yeshua didn't get completed. Sefer Shoftim, we got worse and worse. And the Shiva Amim were staying there as well. We were constantly badly influenced by their immoral and unethical and Avodah Zarah practices. But it's really clear that the goal is love Davka to kill them. The goal is to neutralize their influence. And therefore, before Yahshua went into Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash says, Yerushalmi, Shlosh Pastagiot, or something like that. So good Greek. You can correct me. Any of you got good Greek? Shlosh Pastagiot, I think it is. Huh? I don't know. It means a letter. Three different letters. Yahshua sent three letters before they went into Eretz Yisrael. The first letter said, anyone who wants to make peace, make peace. You can make peace with us. You're allowed to make peace with us. The second letter said, if you don't make peace, clear out. Leave the country. Right? And the third letter said, if you don't make peace and you don't leave the country, so we're going to fight you. Right? In other words, there were three options. All three options achieved the same goal. The goal was, there shouldn't be Zion Amamim left with their immorality to influence stuff. So if they want to do shalom doesn't just mean we hug and kiss, right? Which is not recommended nowadays. It means that they renounce Avodah Zarah, they renounce their practice, they take on Shivat Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and they live a basic level of morality, rejecting Avodah Zarah. That's what peace meant. Peace doesn't just stumble. So they want to create peace, great. If they want to leave Eretz Yisrael, they have no problem. You want to get the Yerushalmi says there was one nation that left. Who was? Girgashi. They went and lived in Africa. So, because of the height, you want to go live in Africa, we have no problem. But you can't stay here where you'll be an influence on us. And if you fight, so we'll kill you. Right? But again, the goal was never the actual fight. There was no value in the milchama per se. There had to be destroying the influence of the nation. Whereas by Amalek, apparently the mitzvah is milchama. Because the milchama is, there's a value in the milchama per se. Now, how do you understand that? Right? So, I think it's perfectly understood in terms of the machshava of the matter. What is milchama about? What is the kiyum? What is the value in milchama per se, as opposed to simply achieving the result that your enemy no longer is around? Right? We said yesterday in the Megillah, let's go, v'nachu me'oyveihem v'hargu
soneihem.
How's it go? Right. So there's two ideas. One is nachu. One is you fight to achieve the result that you can rest. And the other is the value to killing per se. So what is the value of killing per se, or being in milchama specifically per se? So let's explain the yasod of milchama. We only ever find the concept of milchama where it's juxtaposed to the concept of malchus. Simple example, Rambam. Where's Rambam in Hilchos Milchama? Melachim. In fact, the real name of Hilchos Melachim is? Melachim or Milchamotehem. You know, Milchama is a din in a melech. Where is the first time Milchama appears in the Torah? Four and five kings. Now, Milchama is intrinsically linked to the concept of a malchus. Why? Because what Milchama is where one malchus feels another malchus is impinging on it, on its absoluteness. A melech is an absolute concept, where the melech, the one individual at the head of that nation, has total control of everything that's underneath him. The moment anything or any other nation tries to push in and undermine the malchus of that melech, so you have to go to milchama over it. Ah, it's only over an inch of land. You know, how many years in Europe was there? Was there, you know, wars for hundreds of years over a mile worth of land? So you'd say, oh, it's not worth it. But it is, because it's not about the 1 mile of land. It's about
precedent.
It's not just a precedent. It's about the pigia in the malchus. It's a total undermining of what that malchus is, that you allow another melucha to come in and take even 1 inch of your land. You have to defend your malchus. So we always find the concept of milchama being connected to the concept of a melech, that a malchus has to defend its malchus, and milchama means one malchus imposing its malchus over another malchus, pushing away another malchus, preventing that other malchus getting a foothold. So, I'll give you another example, a more firm example for us. Shema Yisrael. How is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim? Where's the Malchus in the Pasuk?
Echad.
The Echad. When you realize that Malchus Hashem means that everything has to fit in with Ratzon Hashem, right? So that is the ultimate meaning of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, that there can be nothing that is an affront to the absolute malchus of Hashem.
So then how can we say that there's a nation like Amalek that impinges on Hashem's malchus?
So then Hashem isn't echad yet. That's the call of Rashi's Peshat in Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem, okay, right now Hashem is our God, but he's not yet echad. And by Yom Ahu, yeah, Hashem echad, Shema echad. Ultimately, will come the day when Hashem will fully express his malchus in this world. And until Hashem does that, then his malchus will never be complete. And that's the Rashi on Milchama Ki Yad Al Keiska. We mentioned in Shir on Sunday. Ki Yad Al Keiska means Hashem makes a Shvua, last term of the sheet. Yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hurim Ali Shava B'Kisa. Hashem makes a Shvua on his throne. Liot Lam Milchama Eva Ba'Amalek Olamit. To be an eternal battle with Amalek. Uma case, what's the case? It means thrones. Why doesn't it say Kisei, but Hashem nechalak lechetor. It says Yud K. It doesn't get Yud K Vav K. Nishba Kodesh Baruch Hu Shein Shemosh Shalem VeKisos Shalem. Hashem says my name my expression in this world, and my throne, my malchus, will never be complete until Amalek's destroyed. Because Amalek's very essence is an undermining of God's malchus, more than any other nation. Because Amalek deny the presence of Hashem in this world. Right, we're going to be repeating things I spoke about on Sunday morning, but just for the sake of everybody here, we spoke about how Amalek's ideology is one of rejecting Hashkachas Hashem in the world. Right? Everything's mikre. Everything is just happens to be. But there's no Hashkacha. They don't necessarily deny Hashem's existence. But they deny Hashem's presence in this world. And the victory, if you like, of Purim was recognizing, despite the fact you don't see Hashem's name mentioned anywhere in the Megillah, really, it's all from Hashem. Haman tried to destroy us with a pur, with a goral, the ultimate instrument of mikre, of lack of hashkacha in the world, and hafach puro lepurenu. And that's why we call Purim Purim, right? Because it's a recognition that it's the opposite of what Amalek tried to do. Okay. So that's the idea of milchama. Milchama means there's a value in the fight itself. The very fact that I'm trying to impose my malchus on someone else's malchus is a value, right? And not just the end result that they happen to die. Well, obviously, our goal is that Amalek should no longer exist. But there's a value in pushing back against Amalek in and of itself. So if you want a very fun lom nishnaf kamina, the Avnei Nezer suggests, what about Milchemes Amalek and Milchemes Zayin Amamim on Shabbos? So he says like this. You guys saw inside, but I'll just say outside. Milchemes Zayin Amamim, he says, when you kill somebody from the Zayin Amamim, it's a Melacha She'ein Atzricha Lugufa. Because you're not interested in the act of killing him per se. You're interested in him not being here anymore to influence you. It's like killing Mazik. If you have a snake and you kill a snake, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. Because you don't need the malacha itself. You don't need the murder itself. It's just about getting him out the way. But by Amalek, the very act of fighting Amalek is a key of spreading Malchus Hashem in the world. And therefore, he says to fight Amalek on Shabbos would really be a chilul Shabbos. Right? Okay, so that's a cute enough community that really speaks out the... The
you're allowed
here.
To kill a snake on Shabbos?
Pardon?
You're allowed to kill a snake on Shabbos?
It's a machshin to l'gufa. So midaraisa, definitely yes. And if it's posing a certain amount of danger, then you could do so as well.
But would be fighting Amalek without a milchama not be a keem in the mitzvah Amalek defile?
Would fighting
Amalek without a milchama,
yeah,
that be a keem?
No, very good.
So then milchama already, we don't have the Shabbos part.
No, but killing him.
But is there a kiyum in killing him in Machal Amalek if it's not the toch getter of Milchama?
Yeah.
So according to what we said, no. It's not about stum killing Amalekim. It's about, in the context of war, killing them.
So, but maybe he's inherently dangerous, and so then it's a
Netzricha. So then it's a Melach Shein Netzricha Lugufa again.
But doesn't the Sefer HaNetzricha
now it's like Yimonach
Shach. Yeah, okay. Correct. So now,
he doesn't mention anything even about war by the Amalek.
Correct. Okay, now, so that, we explained, so there you go, let's just go back. We explained, therefore, why there's a difference between women. We said women are chayav when it's not a din of the milchama, right? Like, Zayin Amamim, you just have to get rid of them. So since it's not a mitzvah of milchama, so women are also chayiv, whereas by Amalek, we're now sharpening it. It's why are women not chayiv, according to the Chinuch? Because if we put the Sefer HaChinuch together with the Yireyim, what you really realize is, this is about Am Yisrael with a Melech Yisrael representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So an individual killing Amalek doesn't do the trick. Because he's not, unless he's doing it as a representative. Now, how do you become a representative of Hashem? So you're either the Melech Yisrael, or you are a member of the army of the Melech Yisrael. And then you represent the Melech Yisrael, then you represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only when you represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu that your act of killing Zayin Amamim has the kiyum of a Milchama Hashem in Dor Dor. Right? And that's why it has to be, that's why women are exempt, because since by definition you have to be in the army, and women are exempt from the army, so there's no longer a achiyah. Now, let's see what we have here. Somewhere. There you go. There's another distinction which fits into this as well. In the Rambam, when he brings the mitzvah of killing Zayin Amun versus the mitzvah of killing Amalek, when after he quotes the mitzvah to kill Zayin Amun, he adds Mekava Avad Zichram. They no longer exist. Now there's no longer a mitzvah Zayin Amun, not because it's not a mitzvah Ladoros, but just Pashut. We don't have Zayin Amun today. Whereas by Amalek, the Rambam doesn't mention that. It's Pashtus, it means it's still. There is still Amalek in the world. I don't know who he is, right? Some people know who he is, but we don't, right? We're not sure. But he can definitely exist. According to Rambam, Amalek still exists, whereas by Zayin Amun doesn't exist. Why is there a distinction? Because I think, sorry, Ned.
That they exist, or that meaning the concept still applies in the event that.
Well, that's true also of Zayin Amun. Were they to be more Zayin Amun, so the mitzvah would again apply. Right. I say, if you think Amalek is just an ideology, and different nations can take over the ideology and become Amalek, so that you could say something like that. They say that in the name of Reb Chaim, but I always wonder if Reb Chaim said it. Did he mean it as like? I mean, from Chaim said, he probably meant it, right? No, but did he mean it as like a tagdara of the mitzvah, miches Amalek? Well, he was saying as well, there's an idea of killing the ideology of Amalek. I think Papashtus in the mitzvah sounds like you have to actually be a descendant of Amalek, right? The insistence in the Midrash that Haman was Ben Agagi, he came from, that they didn't all die out. There seems to be an insistence on actually being a descendant. But I think also it makes sense here, because since the problem with Zayin Amamim is the influence, they shouldn't teach us anything, they should be mashpir on us. So the moment they don't end up being a national force, a national presence, we have no problem. You want to have a couple of Kananim living in a little village with no influence on over anyone at all. So they're not Kananim anymore. They happen to be people that descended from the Kananim, but they're not the Shiva Amamim. Right, so Kavad Vatzichra means, some Herod came around and mixed everybody up. And now we don't know who anybody is. And they no longer have that national influence and presence and power that they once had. Whereas by Malek, their very existence is an affront to Kavod and Malchus Hashem. So you have to destroy them entirely. And even if there's one descendant who's still alive, right, there's that 1 centimeter of land you haven't yet conquered, that's an affront to Malchus Hashem, and therefore Amalek has to be destroyed totally. It's not enough that the nation is no longer of influence and we don't know who they are. Not knowing who they are isn't a patur. It doesn't mean we've finished. By the Zayin Amun, not knowing who they are, okay, so the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore for us for all intents and purposes. By Amalek, mitzvah theoretically still exists.
So if they're just individuals, how does the idea of going to war still apply?
So that's what I'll speak about that in a second. Very good. Another nafgamina should be. Give me a second. Okay. Another nafgamina should be. Can you make peace with them? So we know you can make peace with the Zayin Amun. We explained that makes a lot of sense. With Amalek, but Pashtus, you can't make peace with them. For the very simple reason, if you have a look, for example, at the Mechilta here. You'll never ever agree to have peace with Amalek. You can't be Megaira Amaleki. Why? Because the very existence, even if there's one Amaleki who's not a duk in the ideology of Amalek, but he means that there's something left of Amalek in this world. Just as if you have to kill the, Ashol was told to kill all the animals. The animal doesn't hold the ideology of a Malik alive. According to Rashi, in Parashas Ki Tetzeh, he's the only one of the Rishonim I think really holds this, there's always the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalik includes killing the animals and the property of a Malik. The animal and the property doesn't have the ideology of a Malik. But there's any remnant left of a Malik, it has to be destroyed. So you can never make peace, because making peace means you've left this nation that opposed Malchus Hashem, you've left them alive. Now, all of that is within the Chinuch.
Go. What if a person doesn't know that he's an Amaleki? Would it still...
Can you ever lose your Amaleki-ness?
Yeah, I mean...
Identity. I imagine so. I imagine so. I can... At what point do you stop being Amaleki? When you stop identifying as part of the nation?
We don't know who Amaleki are.
We recognize you're part of the nation... But you didn't know it.
But by Amon and Moab, we say Gam Dor Asiri. Yeah.
I don't know. If we can train. Once it's known, I guess.
And Amalek, you can join them to yourself.
Pardon? Yeah. Amalek, you can join himself. Well, he's great to the Midrash and he can't. We'll see. The Rambam argues.
Does he have to kill himself then?
That would be exactly the point of the book.
I don't know. A few years ago, they put up in the yeshiva this big Kol Koyre. So the Bedatz had found this guy who they chased his lineage. To Sifra Yuchsin, he really was an Amaleki, and he was willing to die on Kiddush Hashem, and everybody should come to Kikar Shabbos, and there'll be a public murder of this. Okay.
Did they do it?
Pardon?
Did they do it?
Let's put it up on Purim. Okay. Oh. Okay. The Rambam differs with the Chinuch on two important Nekudas. Have a look at the Rambam. Number one, let's see, 1 second. Number one, the Rambam. Where's the distinction? Number one, about the chiyuv of women. Right, if you have a look at the end of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam writes, tells you which mitzvahs in the Sefer Mitzvahs are mitzvahs on the Sibur, which mitzvahs are in the Yachid, which mitzvahs are women chatur from, which women chayv from. It's very tricky to learn it, because he just he lists a whole long list of numbers, and says, women are exempt from these mitzvahs. He doesn't actually write in the Gufa Sefer. But if you look at it, I quote you just a bit here. He says, the mitzvah, Kuf Ayin Hei, Kuf Pei Dalad, and Kuf Tzadi Hei, Ein Anashim Chayavot Bo. And they're basically the mitzvahs of Ibud Zayin Amim, Ba'amalek V'Sechirato. In other words, women, according to the Rambam, are exempt from both mitzvahs. From Zayin Amim and Amalek. Which is different than Chinuch. The Chinuch said women are exempt only from Amalek. According to the Rambam, women are Chayav. Imechias Amalek. Nafka mina bezman is therefore. Pardon? For Pasha Zachor. The women have to be makpid to go and hear Pasha Zachor. According to the Chinuch, women are exempt because ain't derech nashim b'milchama. According to the Rambam, women are chayev. Because women are also chayev in Zechiras and Mechias Amalek. Now, the question there is, are we going to undo all our lomdus? We said until now, the whole time, that the kiyum of Mechias Amalek is a kiyum the derech milchama, to impose the malchus of Hashem over Amalek. So how can you now come along and say, women are chayav, chayavot? It's not derech nashim, but milchama. So the Achronim on the Rambam ask this question, and they say like this. Have a look at the Gemara Sotah. The Gemara Sotah is the one who points this out. The Mishnah in Sotah already told us that a Mechemetz Mitzvah, women do go out to battle. So then the Achronim asked the Rashash there, asked, according to Radvaz on the Rambam, it's not Derech women, but Milchama, so what are they supposed to be doing? So he says like this, many of the Achronim say like this, how can you say a bride grows forth from her chuppah, the fight war? A raviot. So he says, when it means that a woman goes into battle, it doesn't mean she fights. It means she helps support the battle front. She's supplying the supplies and all the things. I don't know, my grandmother was, doing something for the British Army in a, underground somewhere in England when all the male pilots were dropping bombs, right? I don't know, women have something they can do to ensure that the war exists. Because the question is like this, whether I ask whether women are chayev or women are not chayev is really a question of what am I focusing on. If I think the mitzvah is to be at war, then they should be chayev. Because women, they contribute to the war effort. They contribute to the existence of war. They makim milchama. So I think according to Rambam, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is not to kill. It's lahakim milchama neged Amalek. And therefore women are equally chayev. Because they also have to help with creating the milchama. It's true they don't do the fighting and the killing. But they also need to be part of the actual war effort. Whereas according to Chinuch, he also agrees, you know, that it says in the Mishnah in Sotah that Kala Michal Patan, she helps with the war effort. But how apparently does he define the mitzvah? It's to
kill at war.
Kill at war. Within the war, then, you have to kill in war. The mitzvah is to kill in a state of war. Why do you need a state of war? Because it's not a state of war. It's not imposing Hashem's Malchus onto Amalek. But the mitzvah is to kill within war. Now, with that, we can go back and explain another distinction between the Rambam and the Chinuch. The Chinuch has this idea of, in ba echad liyado, right? Then you have to kill them, right? Yes? The Chinuch says, both by Shiras Amim and by Amalek, over alzeu ba liyado echad mehem, then he's Bavatel Asay, and also by Amalek. Now, where did the Chinuch get this idea of Ba Echad Mehem? He took it from the Rambam. By which mitzvah? Only by Shivas Amimim. The Rambam Shivas Amimim says, Kosher Ba Liado Echad Mehem Velohorko. But the Rambam never mentions that by Amalek. So the Rambam has two distinctions between him and the Chinuch. One is women's obligation, and the other is by Amalek there's an obligation to kill an individual? If an individual turns up to you, do you have to kill him? So,
Could a man fulfill his chiyuv of Mechias Amalek if he was like helping out in the war effort, like he wasn't actively going out and killing?
Yeah, so according to the Rambam, yes. According to the Chinuch, no. Right? That's exactly the point. So it all fits together beautifully. According to the Rambam, what's the mitzvah? To be making milchama, to establish a war against Amalek. Okay? So, one second. So if the mitzvah is to establish a war against Amalek, so you don't need to tell me if one comes to your hand and you don't kill him. Because it's not true. If one comes to your hand and you don't kill him, then you are chayev. Because either you're at war or you're not at war. If you're not at war, you have no chayev to kill him. If you're at war, so you're at war, you have to kill him. Right? But the chinuch is saying something phenomenal. The chinuch is saying the mitzvah is to kill him in war, but if one turns up by you, walks past you, you have to kill him. How do you put the two things together?
We're always in a state of war.
That's apparently the situation of the Chinuch. The Chinuch holds Milchama Lashem Midar Dar means it literally. I take Hashem. We are always at war with Amalek. By definition, Hashem declared war already, and since Hashem has already declared war, so we're always in a state of war. And then if Echad Chal Liatcha and you kill him, you are killing him Batoch Milchama. Whereas the Rambam can't simply have any concept like that. Mark, you have a question?
Well, yeah, what was the distinction again with the chiyuv of nashim?
Pardon?
What was the distinction with the chiyuv of women?
So the Rambam holds the mitzvah is to establish the war, so women are obligated as well.
Where does he say that? Doesn't he, I thought we said women are not obligated. In nashim, chayav of that.
Oh, did I get it the wrong way around for a second? No, but when Kuf Pei Zayin, Kuf Pei Chet, Kuf Pei Tet, which he missed out.
Oh, those?
Those are the ones he missed out, which women are chayav.
Oh, those are the
Okay. So then we'll finish off. Can you make peace with Amalek? So the Chinuch and the Midrashim all seem to say no, you can never offer peace. Whereas the Rambam famously paskens, before you go to war with Amalek, what do you have to do? Offer peace. Have a look here in the Imperic Vav Halacha Aleph and Bet. אין עושים מלחמה עם אדם בעולם עד שקוראים לו שלום, אחד מלחם בסושות חמיץ מצווה, and then he carries on, אבל שיב הסעמם עם המלאק שלא השלימו, אין מלחים הם נשמה. משמע that, you could have made peace with Amalek. How?
It's like imposing terms on them. If you can, you know, impose your authority on them, even to their peace, then that accomplishes the.
So we've gotten to acquiesce. Okay, maybe. But I think a much more simple answer.
We're not in a constant state of war, so we have to create the war.
So in the chinuch, by definition, we're at a state of war. If you're already at a state of war, can you offer peace?
No.
No. Once you're at a state of war, you don't offer peace in the middle of the war. That's a halacha. The Rambam holds offering peace is a din in going to war. A person can't go to war unless he first offered peace. There's no concept of you make him a milchama without first offering peace. That's why the Rambam begins Hilchos war, basically, in Perek Vav there, with you can't make a milchama until you offer peace. So since the Rambam holds we're not constantly in a state of war with Amalek, the mitzvah is to establish a war with Amalek. Therefore, Misad Echad women Achayev. Misad Sheni, an individual outside the concept of war, you don't have to kill. And number three, you have to offer peace first. Because you can't yet go to war until you first offered peace. Whereas the Chinuch, who sees us being constantly, perpetually in a state of war, and is a key, the mitzvah is to kill within war, so there's no peace. Women don't have to do it. They have to help with the war. But the mitzvah is to kill. And even if an individual comes your way, so you already been the definition of a state of war, and then you have to kill.
The chinuch is sort of against Shita Shemikra in terms of having already being a state of war, meaning Shaul has to be directed by the Navi to initiate his first war with Amalek.
Okay, so I'll finish off with that then. Let's get back to the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin said you can't do Milchames Amalek without a Melech Yisrael. I think we understand greater omek now what the Gemara means. So it doesn't just say you need a melech. I said you need a melech because you want to fight a milchama. You need a melech, but it's not any melech will do. What's the Gemara say? How do I know which one is first? There's no throne without a king. Which type of melech do we need to be able to fight milchames amalek? Only a melech who's Yoshev. Al Kisei Hashem. Okay? Why? It makes sense of everything we said. Because the fight against Amalek is not a national fight between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. It's between Klal Yisrael as Hashem's representative in this world and Amalek. It's between Hashem and Amalek. So only a king as Yoshev Al Kisei Hashem is able to actually fight Amalek and to be a Kiyum of Mechias Amalek. Right? And I think, I haven't spoken at all about the whole morality question with Amalek. But I think the moment you realize this, the whole question becomes much more of a smaller question. Right? If we really were to see Malchus Hashem in the world and feel that Malchus Hashem was filling the world, there's this one little nation that's undermining the whole purpose of creation, we would view the question quite different. Now, to finish off with Shaul, there are two types of a Malchus. Right? The pasuk I spoke with Moshe before. So, V'nachu me'oivehem was talking about non-Jews in Shoshana were Stam, anti-Semites. What was the goal there? To wrest from them. But Vaharagu Sonehem means Amalek. According to the Targum, if you have a look at the Targum, basically there were loads and loads of Amalekim in Shoshana that we had to actually do a din of killing them. Shlalam lo lavuz, right? Because it's Asur, the Cherim of Amalek is Asur to take from, and all these sorts of things. Okay, so now Shaul. So there's two types of Melech. There's a pragmatic Melech, and there is a Melech HaNimshach B'Shem HaNamishcha. A pragmatic Melech means any leader of Klal Yisrael, right, who represents the whole of Klal Yisrael, and can organize us, and do the things we need. If it says that's the sort of king we requested, right? We want a king like Kolamim, all the other nations around us, we said, we want a king to lead us. And Shmuel describes to Klal Yisrael, yeah, that's what a king will be. Or, you know, he has tremendous authority and he'll take you and he'll keep society in order and he'll fight your battles. And that's one type of king. And that king, Yeshua was that type of king. Yeshua has a din of a melech. How do I know Yeshua has a din of a melech? Because in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yeshua, it says, They got a Bnei Reuven. They turn around to Yeshua and says, anyone who doesn't listen to you will kill. That's what we learn the din of Mored Malchus. So Yeshua had a din of a Melech, even though it was never Nimshach B'Shem Mishchah. It wasn't Yoshev Al Kisi Hashem, but he was the chieftain, the most important chieftain in Klal Yisrael. He was in control of everybody. So he had to fight the battles for Klal Yisrael. He declared war and fought the battles. David HaMelech was Nishmachach Hashem and Amishchah. He was Kadosh. He really represented Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech was Mamas for Pasuk and Divrei Yamin. Yoshev HaMelech Hashem. What about Shaul? So that's the big question, the whole Sefer Shmuel, whether Shaul will realize that he was Nimshach B'Shem and Amishchah and he's there to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus in this world. Or does Shaul listen more carefully to the Am, who wanted a chieftain to fight their battles for them? Will Shaul chap what he's supposed to be? Nafkamina, when you end up fighting Amalek. If you fight Amalek as a chieftain, as a pragmatic king, what do you have to do?
Plunder.
Plunder them, vanquish them, reduce their power, protect Klal Yisrael from their, you know, they used to come and maraud and take the spoils and like attack these ad hoc attacks. You have to stop them and neutralize their danger. That's all you have to do. And if you're a melech Yoshev al kisi Hashem with Hashem and Amishcha, then you have to quash them entirely. You have to impose Malchus Hashem on them. So what happens? Shmuel tells Shaul, go and fight. You're a melech. You have to go and fight. We got to the stage. Why didn't Shaul fight Amalek until this stage? He didn't feel it was necessary. He looked about himself and thought, I'm just a chieftain, the most important chieftain. I run milchamas when it's helpful for us. Shaul ran many milchamas. He didn't feel it was necessary to fight Amalek. They weren't posing a danger. Shmuel says, no, go and fight Amalek. And apparently Shaul still misunderstands and thinks that he's fighting Amalek because it's necessary, it's a pragmatic thing. And he doesn't kill everything. He doesn't kill the animals, he doesn't kill Agag. Shmuel turns up and says, hi. Shaul says, Hakimosi Devar Hashem. I did exactly what you told me. Shmuel's like, moo moo. What I hear from the window? What's going on? Yeah. Oh, those. And then Shmuel says to him, Im katan, what's the pasuk? Im katan ata beinecha, roshev ti Yisrael ata. You misunderstood again. You're not just stam a nobody. You're not just like chieftain who fights practical milchamas. You have a din of melech. And so your milcham with Amalek wasn't just another battle, but it was the ultimate battle. And therefore you had to kill every single one. And Shmuel himself takes the sword and turns around to Agag and says, this is what you get for being a Malek, for having a Merachmanas on children, and chops his head off. Right? And that's why Shaul loses the Melucha. Because if you don't chap what nature of your Melucha is, then you don't get it. The guys told me that the Litag is a very, very similar vort. On the whole story, Ayin Sham, it's all on the internet, on the Tanakh.org. Well, chap to get that domain name.
One of the most powerful domain names there is.
Very good. Anyway, Purim, Shushan Purim Sameach, and we should be zeicher to be megala kavod melchus shamayim in this world. Okay.
Tanakh.org is second only in power to create.